Welcome to the new Cyber Frontier, bringing you the latest news on the local Colorado economy and initiatives that focus on the development of cybersecurity economics. You don't have to be a computer or cybersecurity expert to get plugged in. Your host, Chris Gorog, brings it straightforward, asks the tough questions, and brings the cyber world to a level of understanding for everyone. Chris is personable and opens up with our guests on the issues we all would like to see addressed. You can find us on the web at www.newcyberfrontier.com. Now join our host as he introduces the topic for today's New Cyber Frontier.
Welcome to today's episode of New Cyber Frontier. Today we're going to talk about some pre-penetration testing hygiene, I guess we'd say, because we have guests on today from Black Knight Cyber, is a Colorado Springs company. We'll let Jeremy introduce, talk about what the company does and what you're doing, where you're at, and everything. But we have Jeremy Crabtree, who is the business development manager, and Josh Stinson, who is their cybersecurity practice manager. So they do a lot of pen testing, and we'll prelude what they're going to talk about, and they're going to tell you. What did you tell me when we sat down? There's some things that need to be done before you have a pen test done. And don't call us until you do, a couple things. Right. And that's what we're going to talk about today. What do you need to do to save yourself some money before you call the high-priced pen testing team to come in? So, Jeremy, I'll let you take off. Introduce your company, what you do. Talk a little bit about both of your background, and then pass it off to Josh and let him tell us about his background.
Perfect. Like you said, my name is Jeremy Crabtree, and I'm the business development manager. Work for Black Knight Cybersecurity International. My background is actually business relationships and managing those relationships. I've been with Black Knight Cyber for about a year and a half, and really our goal at Black Knight Cyber is to become a company's trusted advisor in terms of cybersecurity solutions and awareness. One of the biggest problems that we talked about and that was alluded to is that we see a lot of companies that call for a pen test right up front before they're even aware of what their security policy is. That's what we're trying to help companies to avoid, is to be prepared when we come in there to visit with them and assess their situation.
So Jeremy, what's your background? How did you get to where you're at?
So my background is basically, I started out doing recruiting, relationship management there, and then I started moving into business development roles. I've always been in a sales related role, one way or another. Black Knight Cybersecurity came up, and the opportunity was there with one of the sister companies, and so I decided I have volunteered to take the business development on, and it's been an adventure. Cybersecurity is an exciting place to work. I've been learning along the way because I'm not a historically technical person, so I've had to learn along the way, like a lot of people do in terms of cybersecurity. Josh, on the other hand, he's our guru over here at Black Knight Cybersecurity, so.
Guru. So, Josh, talk about this guru thing.
I don't know anything about being a guru, but I've been doing IT security, now we call it cyber, for a good 20 years at least. I started when I was in the Marine Corps. Just turns out I have a knack for figuring things out, breaking things on the network, and figuring out how to secure them. So I guess my background is primarily research and development on the security side. I ran the IA lab out at MDA for about 10 years.
So what does that mean? Is that software development? Is that network?
No, it's everything from, say, we want to implement a new firewall. We put that in the lab and we do every possible thing we can think of to break it or get around it.
So every possible scenario, right?
Right, yeah. You just, you're kind of like it's an internal lab pen test against that equipment before you put it in your environment.
So I saw this this comic the other day, and this guy had, it was a digital aquarium. It was funny because he had all, a demonstration of all kinds of computers linked in a network, and he was introducing viruses and timing how fast that they would, propagate from one to the other. And he was like at the glass tap, and he go, "Come on, little guy, come on, little guy." And it was like the fishbowl for techie guys. the things that interest us, huh? Right?
Right.
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll be right back after we hear from our sponsors.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors.
Cyber Resilience Institute helps build strong cyber communities designed to prevent members from attack. Like building a neighborhood watch, it takes coordination and a sharing community to protect our identities and valuables in the virtual world. Typically, we hear that organizations know they need to do something to protect their cyber assets, but don't know where to begin. Let Cyber Resilience Institute help your community create an action plan. Cyber Resilience Institute will build your community or business marketplace so that it is designed to support a collective cyber defense. Contact them for more information at cyberresilienceinstitute.org.
Welcome back. We're here with Josh and Jeremy from Black Knight Cyber. I keep right. wanting to say Dark Knight because of the Batman theme.
It just
thing.
Sounds cool.
It just kind of rolls cool. off my tongue a little better. But they Black are Knight. Here because they do pen testing. And they go in, they charge companies a lot of money. Not really, but to do some pen testing. And people call you before they even, this is the first thing, come in and check my network. But there's all kinds of things you could do first to save some money, basically, and get some things done yourself out of the way. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. So you guys have come up with a list, and I'll let you kind of run with each one. Let's talk about, you know, the first one, that know your risks. So talk a little bit about that, and then kind of just, they're by numbers. So just kind of go through, as we have like 10 or 11 of them. Here are the things to do before you call your high price penetration testers. Josh.
Number one, right? Well, you got to identify what's important for the business. We said crown jewels earlier. Identify, you know, pieces of data throughout your network that you need to keep safe, right? And then figure out the measures that you got to take in order to keep it safe.
So have a list of those, right?
Right.
Like 1 through
Understand,
50. Here's my most number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And that includes the aggregation. So if you have a whole bunch of individual records that might be high up on your list,
right.
or the company's process for some kind yeah. of know-how or an IP type of thing that isn't public yet.
Yeah, I would say start with a list of your databases, a list of usernames, passwords, if there are any that are commonly used. Stop using common passwords.
So databases first, right?
Right. That's all in part of identifying what it is that you need to protect.
Yeah.
Right? You know, what's at risk? What happens if somebody gets access to your database? What do they get out of that? You know, is it PII? Is it business information they can use to steal your customers? Is it your secret sauce, mm-hmm. you know, that makes your company unique? So you got to identify what's important.
Yeah. And then number two, you said, maybe find some freeware, software tools, and you had some examples.
Right. Nmap is a good way to start. If you have an IT person that's comfortable on the command line, that's what I'd prefer. They're going to get a lot of text back. You know, they got to be able to interpret that.
So have somebody internally do this first and get the mess of data back, just to start looking at what is happening.
There are some free scanners out there. OpenVAS is mm-hmm. one that you could use. Just scan the entire internal network, or however many internal networks you have, all of your IP ranges.
Yeah.
Scan that. Look at the results. Pick out. I mean, concentrate on the criticals, the most important things first. Whether it requires installing a patch,
mm-hmm.
or taking down a service, closing a port. Something like that. There's a lot of really quick, easy things that you can do to make that overall security posture.
Try and catch fruit there is what I'm hearing, right?
As a friend said to me yesterday, the 20% that's causing the 80% of your problems, right?
Okay.
Focus on that.
Yeah. So number three was...
Can I back up to
number
ahead. One,
did you
actually?
On that one, Jeremy?
I did, actually. On number one, if I could back up a little bit. I apologize. But
no problem.
Knowing your business risks also implies what your PR risks are, right, if you have a breach. So a lot of times, and this is for the executives out there, a lot of times when executives view cybersecurity, it's a cost center, and it's something that they're not getting a return on that investment for.
Mm-hmm.
And they need to realize, what we find is a lot of people are very averse to implementing cybersecurity for that reason. And so what we find is that a lot of people need to realize that these are risks that, how quickly could you recover from a breach? because it's not going to be too long before that breach becomes public. And then how are you going to recover from once that goes into the newsstand? What's going to be your recovery process then? Would you rather have someone come in and help you? Then you have someone on the ready that can help you through those solutions, right? Or are you going to panic and then go to the first person and not have preparation ahead of time?
So as part of that risk, a disaster recovery plan, at least the thought about how we're going to talk to our experts when they come in and tell them how to help us. Okay. So I think we were at number three, which was to deal with your regulatory. So talk about the, you know, what you want to issue when you come in. People are not prepared for knowing about where they stand with regulatory requirements.
Usually what I see is a company has a good grasp on what their the industry requires or mandates for them.
You know, how much data do you have, which threshold you go around, you meet for that regulation, and understanding that. So it's kind of a, in combination with your, what was it, number one, identifying your crown jewels, knowing how big they are and what thresholds they fall under with your regulatory requirements. Correct.
And there's very specific thresholds for each guideline. So for instance, HIPAA has certain guidelines. If your breach that happened affects this many people, then you have to take this step, which might mean, well, it's always notifying the person that was affected in the breach, right? Mm-hmm. But then if it's over that amount, then you're going to have to go out to the and do an actual press release. And, you know, personal card information, PCI, that's the one that affected Target, right? There's other regulations in terms of that and how much protection you need to provide for those folks that were affected. So each of these organizations, and there's a lot of them out there.
There's the fines that could be heaped onto all that, too.
So knowing where your thresholds are, like I said, most people are in the industry, they know what regulation they fall under, but maybe they haven't checked it against what size and amounts of data they have. Right. So, okay, that
well,
was number
see, even if you don't fall under any regulatory compliance, you need to at least do your due diligence to secure your network and protect your employees and your business as a whole. So even if you don't have any mandates or anything pushing you towards it, you should take it, you know, it's in your business's best interest to start out with a plan, figure out where you are, figure out where you need to get, and then stay there, you know.
Okay. And so number four, and this was straight up Josh's alley, default passwords.
Right.
So give us the top so many list of, you know, check these things before you even call us as pen testers.
One of the first things I do when I'm doing an assessment, as I'm on the network, I run Nmap look for anything running HTTP or HTTPS. And I get a list of those IPs, and then I pull up a web page and go to those IPs. Most of the time, it's a camera, a printer, a router, wireless routers. And almost every single one of them has a default login. So admin
so
with no password.
If you have those devices on your network, go out and check them out.
Configure them.
Yeah.
Configure them properly so that only the people who need access have access.
Okay. All right. And then we got into what operating systems.
Right.
So give us the rundown of,
you know, anything with, you know, XP or before XP, definitely.
Well, I think Vista was the problem. Yeah. Anything Vista or older, right?
Yeah, I think Windows 7 is still in that area where you can get it to an acceptable security point where you can.
So your recommendation is, you know, before you even call a pen tester, get rid of anything Vista or older.
Right, upgrade or renew. I'm sure there's cases out there where businesses developed a piece of software, a proprietary software that can only run on XP, right? Moving it to Windows 7 or to a server platform would break
it. So in that case,
right? In that case, yeah, we'd just have to take another look at that system on other ways to protect it.
Or unplug it from the network? So
right.
Do that, would that be a good?
Well, if they still need that proprietary software running, then.
As I was saying, if you have a piece of software designed just on XP and you can just unplug that from the network, that might be the route that you would end up recommending anyway.
And you may have to consult a cybersecurity company to figure out what the best way is to secure that XP system.
Right. That's where Black Knight can come in.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So just know that pretty much anything before Vista or older is not. It's not possible to bring it up to speed. You can't anymore. Okay.
And to give, if I can give a little bit of background to that, is that, you know, the big WannaCry thing that happened, right? XP was the biggest culprit for that, is because the National Health Systems in the UK didn't update their systems from XP to newer. And so they were out of service, they didn't have the patches, and they got wiped out.
Okay. So let's take a break real quick, and we'll come back with number 6 through 11 that we have on the list of things to do before you call the pen tester. Be right back.
We'll be right back with the rest of today's show right after these brief messages from our sponsors. Over 3 million data breaches happen every single day. That's over 2,000 records being compromised every minute. So often, we focus on securing web data access. But what if the attackers are already inside, having gained direct access to your storage through data management software? When it comes to communications that go directly into your storage devices, make SNIA your first line of protection. SNIA's conformance testing limits outdated communications that are known to be used by attackers. It works continuously behind the background to make sure your storage is protected. To find out if your data is truly secure, visit our website at www.snia.org/cybertest.
So welcome back. We're talking to Josh and Jeremy here still. And we're on number 6 now, which is?
Check for unknown access points, meaning wireless access points for sure. That could also be any kind of hub or router that somebody has brought in and plugged into your network that you're not aware of and you don't have control over.
So this is Jim in his office, wants his own Wi-Fi, so he plugs it into a router and boom.
Right?
And anybody that walks by, even outside the building, has access to your network?
Possibly. If he leaves it unconfigured and it's an open wireless network, yeah. But hopefully they at least took some measure and did a WPA2 passphrase. So.
Hopefully. We all
right.
Know
but that. See, even right, in that case, right. I mean, the point is that you no longer have full control over your network.
Yeah.
Right? You have another piece, a rogue device hanging off of it that somebody else controls. Right.
So if you found that with, you know, other than wireless access points, could that be switches, routers?
Right. Exactly. It could be just about anything.
Yeah.
You know, it could be, you plug your, or even, you know, put your phone on their wireless network and then share your phone out through a PAN with a Bluetooth network.
Right? So you ever had anybody do like a VPN or a PPOE to a home network? Have you ever seen that one?
Well, I haven't seen one lately, but I know that's very common. Yeah. I mean, it can happen easily, right?
Okay, so check for those unknown access points. Would that be just walking around physically looking for stuff, asking people, or is that, you're not using a tool yet, you're kind of just at the level of employee honesty at that point, right?
What I do the nmap scan, I gather all the MAC addresses, I run the MAC address lookup database, so I can determine what devices those MAC addresses are for.
Well, that's you when you come in for the penetration testing.
Well, that's when I do an assessment.
Yeah, okay.
Right, because there's a difference between an assessment and a pen test.
Okay,
right?
The we'll assessment, get to that. I think that's right? Number 11.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so number, 7 now? Bring your own devices.
Right, well, that was the case where somebody brought their own device, then you weren't aware of it, right? Where they connect up and now there's an access point that you have no control over. For a business, if you're going to allow people to bring their own devices, you need to ensure that you have some sort of policy written up that they sign and agree to, right? And then what did you call it, a user agreement?
But, I mean, that doesn't really, that leaves everybody kind of their honor still.
Exactly.
We have to decide. You have to decide before you get too far as a company. First of all, do you even allow people to do this, or are they just doing it to just take the liberty? You have to determine what your position is on it, and that's really what you're saying here is you have to be able to tell us what do we want to do as far as bring your own device.
Is there a business need?
Say that again.
Is there a business need?
Is there a business need? Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And if there's no business need, then there's no business having people bring their own devices.
Okay.
Right?
And I think part of the knowing the policy ahead of time, because you're right, a lot of this stuff is policy. And policy, in this case, is just on your honor. Because someone can come in with their phone, it's set to automatically connect to the network. There's no way that you're going to know that unless you go in and check the network at that point. And so as you come in, having a policy in place is going to help protect you so that if there is a breach, they're going to track down where that breach happened, where it originated. And if it's because of someone's bring your own device and they violated it, that policy, then that protects you as a company. And that's really what you want to do is develop a strategy and understand, not just develop a policy, just to have it, but understand what that policy is. Because they may go out to the coffee shop, connect to their network there, and then somehow bring something back into your network.
Yep. All those dirty devices.
All those dirty devices out there, right?
Yeah, we know what that is.
But see, one way that you can keep an eye on your network is doing continuous monitoring. So as when somebody brings in a device and it gets an IP address, the continuous monitoring part of it will detect that. And it'll be something you can go back and look
for. Is that something you're recommending that they get in place before you come in for a pen testing too?
Well, no, that's actually something that that Black Knight would do for them. That's okay. One of the things that we do.
So that's kind of the step of after you get past this checklist, you call us in, we start helping you with these types
right.
of things. Gotcha.
Yep.
So starting getting connected to organizations was kind of the next thing on our list. Get some knowledge. How could we start to do that? Make some recommendations.
Well, I think the first thing is to understand where cybersecurity is coming from and understand the context. And me coming from a non-technical background, I've had direct experience trying to understand this whole world of cybersecurity. And the best way to do that is to watch the news, right? To study news articles, to join business review organizations. So Harvard Business Review is a good place because they review breaches that have happened.
Mm-hmm.
Read the news on the big breaches, so Target or Home Depot or even some of the more current ones. There's all kinds of groups on LinkedIn. There's a CISO executive network that you can go on and they talk about these common issues that affect the executive level.
So get connected to groups that have feeds of information coming out.
Correct.
To be aware.
Yeah.
Okay.
Be active in the community, the cyber community.
And the local, ISSA was a recommendation that you guys had made, is get connected to the local professionals that are doing it. Attend a couple meetings.
Exactly.
Right.
And that's the important part. Also, in understanding that is that you don't want to be taken advantage of by a cybersecurity company that comes in and gives you something you don't need.
Mm-hmm.
And when you read these use cases, you're going to see what other cybersecurity companies did that was good. You're going to see some cybersecurity companies that failed. Mm-hmm. And that'll give you more education in terms of what questions to ask, what strategy you're going to take, and how you're going to develop that and deploy that strategy.
Okay. All right. And you had mentioned some technical publications. I know a lot of us don't want to get into all the technical details, but a couple that you would recommend
are good. Hack 5 is one that I recommend because they cover all the newest stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Whatever, like the Blue Hydra was one I was looking at today, right?
Okay.
They have a video about how to use it. They're current and they're somewhat entertaining, right? Yeah. Just go out there and check out Hack5.
You've learned everything
right?
you know from them.
Right. Yeah. So, that's the first one. There's tons of podcasts out there.
And you mentioned CyberWire is another good publication.
Yeah, CyberWire.
New Cyber Frontier, obviously.
Obviously.
Right?
Definitely New Cyber Frontier.
And anything else you might, and these might be, you might even recommend it. Get your technical guy involved with these. It might not be if you're the executive. Get one of your IT guys and start being involved with these type of things.
If you're an IT guy and the cyber world is coming down on you now, go to places. Overthewire.org is a great place. Go and start on Bandit. That's the first level of learning how to hack things, right? If you run into a problem, I mean, it's going to throw a lot of Linux commands at you. If you have questions, read the man page. Google it, that's a great place to start.
Okay. Now, Jeremy, talk to the non-technical people. Where did you start when you got into to Black Knight?
Really? I actually started subscribing. CyberWire has a daily email blast that they send out. And some of it can be very technical, but it gives a really good synopsis in terms of current cyber attacks that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I really like because I mean, let's be honest, cyber is happening at a speed that's unprecedented before, right? There's changes that are happening, and WannaCry developed over a period of a week and completely annihilated some networks. And so what I have found is as I subscribe to CyberWire, I understand probably about 60% of it, but I'll go through and I'll read some of the headlines and it takes maybe 5 minutes of my day,
mm-hmm.
but I know what the current threats are. I know what to watch out in terms of my business. And if I was an executive, I could go ask my IT guy and say, I may not have any idea of what the newest threat is, right? I just read the headline and I go ask my IT guy or my security company that's our trusted advisor, hey, are we addressing this threat that's coming through? awareness is the key. You don't have to be a cybersecurity expert at the executive level, but you absolutely should be aware of the threats that are out there that could possibly come in and attack your company.
Yeah. And the last one you come up with was, before you get a pen test, get some assessments done. And talk about that and the value of getting something like that versus just flying into a pen test and might come back with 200 pages of stuff that you'll spend 2 years going through.
Right. Well, generally, pen tests do cost you more. Doing a base level security assessment of your network, it's, I don't want to throw numbers out, but it's much cheaper. Probably, you probably spend 2 to 3 times as much on a pen test when what you really should have done first was a security assessment, right?
And you'll have lots more to weed through and you have to do more pen tests anyway, right?
Right, and then you got to come back for another pen test to see how well you secured your network after they just ripped it apart, right? When really, if you do a security assessment first, it gives you a very good idea where you're at. There's a lot of low-hanging fruit that you can fix right away. And then when a pen tester does come in, they got to search and they got to try a lot harder, right? You get more bang for your buck in the long run. But even like if you do a security assessment and you fix everything that you possibly can, you set up continuous monitoring, you add the threat intel piece so that you're ahead of the game, and you have somebody monitor and keep track of that continuous monitoring system, then you can keep yourself at an even security level, right? And then somebody comes in to do a pen test. Now you're finding the very unique and hard to spot vulnerabilities.
You don't have to wade through all the low hanging fruit that you've already taken.
Right. What's the point in? When I go in and I do a security assessment, I find a webcam that has default logins. You know, that's technically in a pen test. You know, they would get in there and they would make changes and configure it the way they want, or they just would do whatever they feel is necessary to prove the point. Whereas all you really need to know is that, hey, this has default credentials, change the password.
Yeah.
Right. And what you really want to get to when you get a pen test is you want to make sure, because they're going to come in for a certain amount of time and do work for that period of time, and you want to make sure you're getting as much for your money as possible during that time. And if you're already... you know in your mind whether you're, or you know in your company, within your company, whether your cybersecurity is good or not, right? Whether you have your posture is high or whether it's low. And if you already know that it's low and you have them come in and do a pen test, you're really just wasting money. They're going to tell you similar things that you'd get on an assessment, but the assessment's going to be a third of the cost. And so when you invite someone in to come do a penetration test, like Josh said, is you want to make sure that that's, you've already taken care of all these other security parameters that that are easy, to be honest.
Give them a challenge.
Give them a challenge. Make the penetration, make the hackers work for their money.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so now that we've got through your list of 10 things, do this before you call the pen testers. You guys offer these services. You see these customers, these clients all the time. Tell us about your company and how somebody can reach out and get a hold of you should they come to that point where they've gone through this list and they're ready for that service.
Absolutely. And again, I want to thank you for having us on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
But Black Knight Cyber, we do offer these services. And one of our biggest frustrations that we run into when we talk to customers or potential clients of ours is that they are, the big word in the industry right now, and even outside of the industry, is penetration testing. If you don't know anything about cybersecurity, you hear that word and you contact a cyber company and say, hey, I need a pen test. Well, okay, do you have these things in place first? And they come to us and say, no, we don't have that. Okay, well, you don't need a pen test right now. And I think that's, Josh Moulton over at Louisiana State talked about this. He said, the problem is that people don't know where to look first and how to start that. And cybersecurity companies, a lot of these startups are saying, well, we'll come in and do a pen test, and we'll charge you a bunch of money for that. And we don't want to do that as a company. We want to help someone become secure and provide a whole solution. So we come in, we do this initial assessment, find out where you're at, improve your security posture, and then implement solutions along the way. At the end of all that, when we feel like you're reaching a point where you are, there's no such thing as 100% security. But once you're reaching that point, then we can talk about a penetration test. The other thing that we believe very strongly in as a company is collaboration. One of the biggest problems in the industry right now is there's this feeling of competition among cybersecurity companies. And that's a challenge that I think needs to be overcome, because there's so much work out there in terms of cybersecurity. And so what we like to do is really to utilize our partners and work with other companies that are strong in the industry and help to provide our clients a better solution. Because honestly, we want to become that company's trusted security advisor, right?
Yeah. Right. So how would they contact you? Website, email?
Website is blackknightcyber.com. It's with one K. And you can contact me via email or Josh. My email is I always give out my personal email. Don't email that one. It's J Crabtree, and it's JCRABTREE at Black Knight Cyber. And that's Black Knight with one K.
Cyber.com.
Yes.
Okay. And that's how you get a hold of them. Thanks for joining today, guys. Definitely some value add to people. Wait, stop before you get a pen test. Some other things you need to do. But thanks for joining today.
Thank you.
The views or opinions expressed by me during this podcast are my own and are not those of my employer, Colorado Technical University.
We hope you have enjoyed this episode of New Cyber Frontier. Remember to get involved. Often we think that someone else will handle privacy and security in the virtual world, but you are the only one truly in command of your virtual fate. Join our mailing list so we can keep you informed of breaking news and new releases. If you have an idea, if you have a question that you would like to hear answered, or if you want to get involved with our efforts, reach out to us at newcyberfrontier.com. We also encourage you to visit our sponsors' links, as they are the ones that really make this show possible. I want to thank each of you for supporting the show, and we look forward to seeing you back for the next episode of New Cyber Frontier.